This is Spacetime, Series 27, Episode 29, for broadcast on the 6th of March, 2024. Coming up on Spacetime, astronomers detect a new short-period brown dwarf, North America to experience a total solar eclipse next month, and meta-optical elements to be tested for possible use in space. All that and more coming up on Spacetime.
Welcome to Spacetime with Stuart Gary.
Astronomers have discovered a brown dwarf orbiting a red dwarf star some 402 light-years away. A report on the pre-press physics website archive.org claims the brown dwarf, designated NGTS 28AB, orbits its host star in just 30 hours. The host star is part of a spectral type M red dwarf binary system with about 56% of the mass and 59% of the radius of our sun. The red dwarf's binary companion is only slightly smaller. Brown dwarfs are failed stars, objects which don't have enough mass to sustain the core hydrogen fusion process which makes stars like our sun shine. However, brown dwarfs do fuse deuterium, a heavier form of hydrogen which includes a neutron as well as the core proton in its nucleus. And brown dwarfs above 65 Jovian masses can also fuse lithium. Brown dwarfs are classified into one of three basic spectral types, L, T, and Y, depending on their mass and surface temperature, progressively passing through later spectral types as they age. While some brown dwarfs are born as such, others actually start their lives as spectral type M red dwarf stars. But as they age, they lose enough mass during their evolution to eventually pass a point where they cease core fusion, in the process turning them from red dwarfs into brown dwarfs. Brown dwarfs fit into a category between the largest planets, those with about 13 times the mass of Jupiter, and the smallest spectral type M red dwarf stars, which usually have between 75 and 80 times the mass of Jupiter, or 0.08 solar masses. This newly detected brown dwarf was discovered while the authors were analysing data on the binary system NGTS-28 using the Next Generation Transit Survey and NASA's TESS Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. They identified a massive object orbiting the primary star in the system, NGTS-28A. The newly detected brown dwarf is slightly smaller than the planet Jupiter, with around 0.95 Jovian radii, but it's far more dense, with some 69 times the mass of Jupiter. NGTS-28AB orbits its host star every 30.1 hours, at a distance of just 0.02 astronomical units. An astronomical unit is the average distance between the Earth and the Sun, about 150 million kilometres or 8.3 light minutes. The discovery means NGTS-28AB is one of the shortest period transiting brown dwarfs ever seen, and it's orbiting one of the hottest red dwarfs known. The brown dwarf has an equilibrium temperature of about 863 Kelvin and is estimated to be at least 500 million years old. This is Spacetime. Still to come, North America to experience a total solar eclipse next month, and the European Space Agency about to start testing meta-optical elements for use in space. All that and more still to come on Spacetime. Okay, let's take a break from our show for a word from our sponsor, Incogni. You know, today's the day you really need to get serious about protecting your personal data online. And the best way to do that is with Incogni, the data protection specialists. In today's digital age, your personal information is like gold for scammers. They use details like your income, your health conditions, even the names of your loved ones to target you. And that's where Incogni steps in. Incogni is your guardian against these threats. It offers ongoing monitoring and protection by removing your personal data from data broker sites on the dark web. These are an online treasure trove for criminals and scammers. But Incogni understands the value of your privacy and the importance of keeping your personal information secure. So with Incogni, you're not just getting protection, you're investing in peace of mind. And here's the best part. As a Spacetime listener, you'll get up to 60% off by visiting our site at incogni.com/Stuart Gary. And of course, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you've got nothing to lose. Visit incogni.com/Stuart Gary to get up to 60% off. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect yourself and your family now with Incogni. Visit incogni.com/Stuart Gary today and take the first step towards a safer, scam-free life. Remember, your privacy matters, and Incogni is here to make sure it stays that way. And of course, you can get all the details on our website. And now, it's back to our show.
You're listening to Spacetime with Stuart Gary.
North America will experience a total solar eclipse early next month. The event on April the 8th will stretch from Mexico and Texas in the south through the Midwestern U.S. right over Indianapolis and Cleveland before passing over upstate New York in New England and finally entering Canada at New Brunswick. A solar eclipse happens when the moon passes directly in front of the sun as seen from Earth. In the process, it blocks out light from reaching parts of the Earth known as the path of totality. Along this path, where the sun's light is completely blocked out, it looks as if dusk has fallen, temperatures drop, and some stars become visible. As the darkness sweeps across the landscape during a total solar eclipse, unusual things start to happen. Fooled by the false dusk, birds stop singing, crickets start chirping, and bees return to their hives. Reports of these typical animal behaviors date back centuries, but the effects of an eclipse on plant and animal life have never been fully understood. And as the April solar eclipse passes over the heads of some 30 million people in North America, it provides a perfect opportunity for NASA to undertake a large-scale citizen science project. The idea is to collect the sights and sounds of a total solar eclipse on Earth to better understand how an eclipse affects different ecosystems. Kelsey Parrott from the Eclipse Soundscapes Project says eclipses are often thought of as a visual event, something that you see. But these events can trick animals into altering their usual daytime behaviors. The project will in fact be replicating a similar study conducted by American scientist William Wheeler following the 1932 total solar eclipse, which passed over northeastern reaches of Canada and the United States. That near-century-old study captured almost 500 observations from the general public. But this new project will use modern-day instruments to replicate and expand upon Wheeler's original work in order to better understand animal and insect behavior. The project will use multi-sensory observations, such as audio recordings and written accounts of what he's seen, heard, and felt during the eclipse. This report from NASA TV.
During a total solar eclipse, it is almost like day becomes night very quickly.
So knowing that there's going to be a change in that light and life-giving energy means that we can predict when animals are going to have a rapid shift in their behavior.
Which results in changes in the acoustic environment or the soundscape.
So the Eclipse Soundscapes Project is a project to determine how eclipses affect life here on Earth.
And there's a lot more to observation than just what you see. It's also important to think about what you hear.
We're measuring how the rapid onset of darkness during an eclipse affects wildlife by measuring the changes in sounds that they make.
The general public is best suited for this type of project because the general public is everywhere.
And that's really the power of the participatory science component of this project. It enables recordings and observations of soundscapes across the diversity of ecosystems covered by the path of totality. We might think of some ecosystems having a greater influence of human activities on the soundscape, whereas in other ecosystems, say a remote part of a national park, we might have a lower influence of human activities and greater influence from the sounds of life and Earth.
The only way to properly preserve a species is to understand it. The only way to understand it is through scientific study on their behavior, their patterns, and their habitat requirements. One of the things we'll be doing during the total solar eclipse is setting up these recording stations. So these are our acoustic monitoring stations. And what we're doing is listening for calls of the different bat species with the hopes of maybe picking up some of those endangered species like the northern long-eared bat. We're hoping the results of this study will inform us about the health of our bat populations of Hot Springs National Park and help improve future conservation efforts.
The Eclipse Soundscapes Project is an inclusive and accessible project that is inviting the general public to get involved in NASA science alongside scientists and subject matter experts.
Wherever you take your observations, you might be giving us information that has never been recorded before. And that is really useful and interesting to a scientist.
And in that report from NASA TV, we heard from NASA Eclipse Soundscapes Project Chief Scientist Henry Winter, the project's co-lead Mary Kay Severino, its acoustic ecologist William Oestreich, and Natural Resource Manager Chance Holzhauser from the Hot Springs National Park. This is Space Time. Still to come, scientists looking at meta-optical elements for use in space, and later in the science report, discovery of what could be Europe's oldest man-made megastructure. All that and more still to come on Space Time. A new first-of-its-kind engineering study is being commissioned by the European Space Agency to determine the usefulness of meta-optical elements in space. Among those taking part in the study is the Australian Research Council's Centre for Excellence of Transformative Meta-Optical Systems. The study will determine whether meta-optical components can withstand the pressures of a space launch, as well as the rigours of prolonged exposure in the space environment. Meta-optics are a new field of optical physics that aims to replace traditional optics such as mirrors and lenses with what are called meta-surfaces, which are thinner than a piece of cling wrap and will greatly reduce the size, weight and power requirements of future space technology. In fact, meta-optics could solve a major problem for the space industry, namely weight constraints in payloads. That's because meta-optical systems can lead to a miniaturization of systems where traditional optics have been used and which form a choke point, especially with lens systems adding significant bulk and mass. But the problem is meta-surfaces have never been tested for their ability to withstand intense pressures and extreme conditions of launch, or for that matter, the harsh environments of space. And that's what this test will be all about. We'll keep you informed. This is Space Time. And time now to take another brief look at some of the other stories making news in science this week with a science report. A study by the Australian National University has found that a protein in the human immune system can be manipulated to help overcome bowel cancer. The study, reported in the journal Science Advances, claims the protein known as Ku70 can be activated or turned on like a light switch by using a combination of new and existing drugs. The research shows that Ku70 can cool off cancer cells and mop up damaged DNA. The protein works by preventing cancer cells from becoming more aggressive and spreading throughout the body, essentially deactivating them and keeping them in a dormant state. Some 1 in 20 people will be diagnosed with bowel cancer by the age of 85. It claims more than 100 lives in Australia each week, yet some 90% of cases can be successfully treated if it's detected early. Archaeologists say a kilometre-long string of boulders discovered on the floor of the Baltic Sea could be Europe's oldest human-made megastructure. A report in the journal PNAS claims the pristine discovery was probably used for hunting Eurasian reindeer more than 10,000 years ago. That's before it was submerged by rising sea levels around 8,500 years ago. Hunters might have been using the wall to force prey into a bottleneck or a nearby lake. Scientists say the ChatGPT-4 artificial intelligence program has aced their Turing test, proving itself to be indistinguishable from a real human, even when statistical methods were used to try and detect it. In fact, ChatGPT-4 displayed more humanity than some of the humans it was tested against, as it was found to be more cooperative, altruistic, trusting, generous, and likely to return a favor than the average human included in the trial. A report in the journal PNAS claims the authors asked ChatGPT-4 to answer psychological survey questions and play interactive games that assess trust, fairness, risk aversion, altruism, and cooperation. Next, they compared ChatGPT-4's choices to the choices made by 108,314 humans from more than 50 countries. Now, statistically, ChatGPT-4 was indistinguishable from the randomly selected humans, and it mirrored human responses, such as becoming more generous when it was told that someone else was watching. The authors say this all suggests that artificial intelligence could be employed in negotiation, dispute resolution, customer service, and even caregiving. Well, the past few weeks have shown the world both the highs and lows of artificial intelligence technology, with Sora displaying how unbelievably lifelike computer-generated images can now be. With the details, we're joined by technology editor Alex Zaharov-Royt from TechAdvice.life.
They've been working on this for quite some time. You've got people like Pika.art and Google with their Lumia and their video port, but OpenAI have been keeping this in reserve. And this is just the beginning. This OpenAI text-to-video model is only available for select beta testers. So when they actually launch this for the public, it's going to be even better. OpenAI has taken it to the next level. And if you type in openai.com/Sora, S-O-R-A, then you can see a whole bunch of different examples of just how good the system looks. And you can now create anything. And at the moment, it takes 1 hour of processing to create 1 minute of video. That's obviously going to get faster, especially when ChatGPT launches its GPT-5 engine. That's going to make the Sora application even faster. And eventually, people will be doing entire TV shows and movies. We already see in science fiction like Westworld that people are using this generative AI to create stuff out of thin air. Well, science fiction has become science fact.
People have been brought back from the dead in some of the Star Wars episodes.
Absolutely. Look, I cannot wait for people to be able to, and especially the studios who own all the content, to upload, for example, all 7 seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation, or all 3 and a bit seasons of the original Star Trek or any TV show into their Sora type application. And then they can say, look, we have all of these actors in their prime with their voices. And look, we'll need their permission. We'll have to pay them. But we're now going to create entirely new episodes. We're going to continue the journeys and it's going to be completely computer generated. You will have season 8 and season 9, season 10 of Star Trek The Next Generation. That's engaged.
Of course, as well as the good, there's also the flip side of that. That means deep fakes are going to become virtually impossible to tell from the real thing.
Look, we're going to need some sort of blockchain, some sort of digital stamping. I mean, there needs to be some way of being able to authenticate content. And yes, people are going to use it for all sorts of evil purposes. Already, there was this scandal where there were nudes of Taylor Swift that were created and shared all over X or Twitter, and they were taken down quick smart. So people are already doing evil things. So look, this is a problem that humanity is going to have to deal with, but we've dealt with every other problem in life. We have all sorts of horrible things happening now, but even so, humanity seems to muddle through.
The other big story this week has been Gemini, and positive proof beyond any reasonable doubt that garbage in gives you garbage out in terms of programming.
We have to wonder what Google's agenda is. I mean, the left-wing woke viewpoints of Google have been exposed.
We already know that 67% of Google News comes from left-wing media sources. We know that something like 70% of Google search finds are the result of pro-woke programming. This is just the latest example of that.
This is where open source models for AI and search engines and the ability for you to control your AI, to control the information that you're seeing based on your preferences. I mean, some people will want a super woke environment to deal in. They want to raise their kids like that. I don't know why, but some people want that. So this is a great wake-up call. There's a huge outrage about it. Google has had to take their system offline, and people are now
unless they sack people, unless Google actually get rid of this woke agenda they've fallen for, they're going to wind up, and they're a multi-billion dollar company now, but we've seen go woke, go broke. And
look, nobody talks about MySpace anymore. Facebook is always at risk of being, why do you think Facebook spent billions of dollars to buy WhatsApp and Instagram? Because they're trying to broaden their horizons in terms of their products and services. This is the big challenge of our generation. In a few years, hopefully all this is settled and we don't have to worry about it anymore. But as Ronald Reagan said, freedom is not passed down through the bloodline. It has to be fought for by every single generation. And it's up to us to make sure that we leave a better world for the next generation. And we give that next generation the tools that are required to do the same for the future generations that will follow them.
That's Alex Zaharov-Royt from TechAdvice.life. That's the show for now. Spacetime is available every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday through Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, Acast, Amazon Music, Bytes.com, SoundCloud, YouTube, your favorite podcast download provider, and from SpacetimeWithStuartGary.com. Spacetime's also broadcast through the National Science Foundation on Science Zone Radio and on both iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And you can help to support our show by visiting the Spacetime store for a range of promotional merchandising goodies, or by becoming a Spacetime patron, which gives you access to triple episode commercial-free versions of the show, as well as lots of bonus audio content which doesn't go to air, access to our exclusive Facebook group, and other rewards. Just go to spacetimewithstuartgary.com for full details. And if you want more Space Time, please check out our blog, where you'll find all the stuff we couldn't fit in the show, as well as heaps of images, news stories, loads of videos, and things on the web I find interesting or amusing. Just go to spacetimewithstuartgary.tumblr.com. That's all one word, and that's Tumblr without the E. You can also follow us through @StuartGary on Twitter, @SpaceTimeWithStuartGary on Instagram, through our Spacetime YouTube channel, and on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/SpaceTimeWithStuartGary.
You've been listening to Spacetime with Stuart Gary. This has been another quality podcast production from Bytes.com.